With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's Christmas!
Dum 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 dum. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the 12 Rambles of Christmas. It's the last one. It's the last of the 12 Rambles of Christmas Association Bet365, number 12, our grand finale.
It's Christmas Eve!
Oh my goodness, this
Christmas
is the last
Eve.
One.
Don't eat all the food in the fridge. The things that have got post-it notes are not to be eaten.
Pete's mum's already cut the roast potatoes early. Yeah. She's put them out in the courtyard.
Don't even start on that.
Warm your feet by the fire, listen to this episode, and get pissed.
Absolutely right. It's the grand finale of our 12 Rambles of Christmas, in which we've covered the 12 things that we love about football.
Well, we've covered 11, sorry.
I do apologise. We love football, gentlemen.
Putting the Santa before the sleigh.
We bloody love football, don't we, Peter?
I'm agnostic.
By now, you love it.
Don't believe it. Don't really believe in either side.
By a series of Stockholm syndrome-esque experiments, we've now got Peter to love football.
Mm. Indeed, yeah. Well, yeah. And as we know, Peter, the agnostics will definitely be wrong. Yeah. football, it gives us many emotions and plays with our nerves from time to time. But it's the joy that football can give us that keeps us coming back for more, ladies and gentlemen. And the scoring of a goal is the ultimate moment in football, of course. It provides us with an outpouring of raw emotion. So today, for the final time in our 12 Rambles of Christmas, we're looking at the celebration!
Mm. Oh. Woo! Get your hands up in the air like Alan Shearer.
And then put them into a box of celebrations because it's Christmas.
And then wrap your foot up in a celebration wrapper and deliver it to Neil Lennon.
This is what the game's about, isn't it?
Kicking
celebrating.
Booing Neil Lennon. I mean, that was a goal celebration, so... Booing Neil Lennon in the face.
This is not what we came to talk about today. It's Happy Days celebration, whether it's a goal, winning a game, celebrating someone blazing their penalty over the bar. Yeah. It's what the game is about.
A.K.A. the Keown.
The Martin Keown. I'd like to chuck the pylon. Straight in.
So here's the thing about the pylon. I don't mind the pylon.
The pylon is a wonderful thing.
If it's an instinctive, just out of the blue, we're so happy, let's have a bundle. Because we called it a bundle where I grew up.
Yeah.
A pylon, I get.
Yeah, fine, either.
But is there
all
a...
pylon. All pylon.
Yeah, for 5 minutes. Mm. I want to put a question to you guys. Do celebrations sometimes go too far?
All right, Richard Keys.
Where they detract from the goal itself?
Sometimes, but then...
And that's not the type of celebration we're talking about.
How do you mean?
Well, that Icelandic team, who used to choreograph all their stuff, And you don't remember any of their goals. You just remember their celebrations.
No, I disagree with that.
Okay.
Precisely because it's at that level. If it's a smaller team, I think if you're doing a really mad choreographed celebration, as long as your team is at a level where obviously you don't take yourself too seriously and it's all a little bit of a laugh, I think that's great. But if, like, you know, Man United are doing that, then what are you doing?
I get that angle. I completely understand. And I think you might have changed my mind there, to be fair. But I still think it's a shame that you don't remember the goals, you just remember the celebrations. So, for example, if one of those guys scored an absolute pile driver from like 40 yards.
Yeah.
And then did that celebration. I understand not taking yourself too seriously. It's a great thing, and I understand that at that level. The goal is the purest part. But I think it's the best celebrations complement the goal.
We wouldn't see the goal, though, would we?
No, I suppose not.
What Luke's saying there is right, actually. Because if you score an absolute beauty the last minute to win the game, I don't think you're capable of doing the choreograph because your head's away. Yeah. And I think a pile-on is a wonderful thing. We often see it when a team wins a penalty shootout. England players have one in the World Cup against Colombia.
Look at the Arsenal Newcastle match, 4-4. Steve Harper does the Rocks people's elbow on top of a big pile of people.
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
You should have found a way to get the 4-4 in every single one of these episodes.
I know, you've done
all right.
But I always feel that pylons happen the best at World Cups because there's so many people on the bench and so many staff.
Yeah,
doing shuttle runs and stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
A goal at a World Cup is wonderful when you get everybody on there.
Yeah.
Everybody on the pitch, you know, and there is that. It's weird at a World Cup, isn't it? Because you think when the goal goes in, it's kind of everyone, whether it's the first goal, you think, right, we've got our first goal of the tournament.
Up and away,
we're up and away and all that kind of stuff. But even Kieran Trippier's goal in the semi-final, the England players, there was a massive celebration because it was almost as if, oh my goodness, here we go.
Yeah.
Like this good feeling has only taken a few minutes to get going. It was futile in the end.
I just worry about
the Croatia pilot. Had a big old pile on with a winner in that game.
I just worry about, I mean, I know football players are getting lighter all the time and more stringy. I just worry about the person at the bottom of the.
I've got a hairline fracture in my sternum from a pylon.
Mm. Really?
Wow.
Yeah.
That's the stuff.
Yeah.
I've got a busted up elbow when I try to do Jürgen Klinsmann dive.
Oh yeah.
Celebrations can be dangerous.
They can.
Have you ever hurt yourself in the celebration, Marcus?
No.
Jim?
I don't think so.
No. Well, you're all right. We're 50-50 then. Talk us through your Klinsmann. What actually happened?
I pulled out of it at the last minute and put the landing gear down.
Yeah,
and my elbow popped off. Was it
grass and it was wet?
It was grass. It was kind of wet. It just went the wrong way. I went home. My mum went, I suppose I'm going to have to take you to hospital now.
Yeah.
She didn't immediately.
No.
So she just gave me paracetamol and I went to bed. I was like, man, I can't bend me off.
Do you think Jürgen Klinsmann's all... Can he sleep at night knowing the sort of pain he's inflicted upon innocent children?
But here we are talking about the celebration named after a player.
Yeah.
And of course, Klinsmann did that when he signed for Spurs. He came over, he was accused of being a diver, because he was.
Yeah.
And he celebrated in amazing fashion by just doing a dive on the pitch, a belly slide, really. Mm. And we now call that a Klinsmann dive in this country.
It's known as the Maradona.
Maradona, yeah.
Well, I mean, that was a celebration and a half, wasn't it?
The belly slide.
Yeah. Oh.
That was like a short, that was like a film, that was basically like if the Shawshank Redemption was about football.
Yeah.
Because it was hammering it down with rain. It was like getting glory from defeat at the last minute.
Yep.
In the last available opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And there was I won't lie, there was a part of me that was annoyed about the indignity of it, of one of the world's greatest football players of all time.
Oh, no, and,
also, I just sort of fear for the groundsman. He's not only does he have to contend with water and a lot of it, he's got to contend with that rather large lump hitting the ground.
But that is a great example of a celebration where a whole country is on the verge of maybe not qualifying or certainly struggling. Argentina shouldn't struggle to qualify. Their greatest ever player, one, many of them would argue, in Diego Maradona, is managing them. It's an absolute shower of shite. The game should have probably been called off. They're at home to Peru, a side they're much better than. They eventually score in the last minute. It's St. Martin Palermo who gets the goal. It all comes together in that moment. And there is this outpouring of rain with an amazing emotion. Nobody knows what to do with themselves on the sideline. And Maradona ends up doing this belly slide because he cannot contain the joy.
Yeah.
Palermo's shirt is off. He is the rain is pounding his torso. It is unbelievable, and I would like to suggest that you just don't get that in any other sphere of life,
no,
any other sport.
But it's that pure spontaneity, isn't it?
Yeah,
a celebration like that. Tardelli would be another one.
Yeah. Oh my goodness!
Just, yeah. It's just like it is. There's no thought behind it. It is just a physical expression of that pure joy.
I think it's that those outbreaks of joy that. And I don't want to get into comparing too much to other sports because it's a bit naff and it's perfectly fine to like other sports. But I think with football, there is that the emotion of it comes out because of the scoring system. Other games, you know, other sports, there's constant scoring. Or when it happens, you think with football, when a goal goes in, that could be the only goal of the game. That could settle the tie.
Yeah. Mm.
You know, and I think that is one of the things that makes the goal celebration, such a glorious thing.
We've all played. Scoring a goal is hard. It's really, like, you know, even when you're having a good day, like in an 11 a side goal game, scoring a goal is really, really hard. And it's great to sort of see that acknowledged by the players in a situation that you're describing there, because you forget that so easily, don't you? You watch so much football, a player might miss a chance. And you just be like, oh, God, that's...
Well, that's why Alan Shearer can get away with that one. Because when you score 260 in the Premier League, you just get on with it. Yeah, where's the next one coming from?
But then, Alan Shearer's hand up in the air, even though it was sort of quite boring in one sense, I wouldn't sort of hold that against him. He knew what he was going to do with the celebration. And if he was feeling particularly exuberant, he'd put the other hand up as well.
Did he always do that?
He sometimes did.
I know he sometimes did too, but I can't really remember. I'm trying to remember whether at Southampton or before he signed for
the team. I know what you mean.
I remember him doing it at Blackburn a bit, I think.
Yeah, I remember at Blackburn. So I suppose he did it.
He's for, always had it,
yeah. Yeah, whereas some other players, like Cristiano Ronaldo, when he scores, he does that run where he sort of runs and sort of jumps and spins in the air, lands on 2 feet and sort of
puts his hands out.
I think that's a bit crap.
I think the spontaneity of it.
I think it's
not sort of how you expect from Cristiano.
I think it's very much generational though. Like I winced a little bit at Griezmann doing the taking the L Fortnite dance in the World Cup final. It's the World Cup final,
guys. That one,
come
Pete?
On. Yeah. No, it's
what about the dab? What about the dab, Peter? We're
dab,
in danger.
I don't mind a dab. Don't mind.
We're
in
danger of sounding a bit old, I suppose.
Oh, massively, yeah. I don't. You would not want to see a footballer of the 90s stop dabbing.
No, it's actually really enjoyable. it's the first time I've done it.
Hey, you like that, do you? But what about Fabrizio Ravanelli, whose trademark celebration was flipping his shirt over?
Yeah,
his
I think when the first time I saw that, I thought that was a bit contrived. But then everyone was bloody doing it, weren't they?
Well, that led to a spate of it, didn't it?
But this is how we get things like the Fortnite thing and dabbing now, which is that, like, you know. Players now, they're so visible, they want to have almost their own, like,
their identity.
FIFA-style
and
identity.
Also, exactly, and also
move.
It's a brand. And if you
what
get
about
that,
the heart?
If you get that celebration into the...
heart
if you get that, stop doing that, because I hate that one.
Gareth Bale,
No, but so many players do that, though.
Mm.
Yeah. More celebration chat, ladies and gentlemen, after this.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. Now, some celebrations are contrived.
Yeah.
But that doesn't necessarily mean it lacks emotion. For example, when Paul Gascoigne scored against Scotland in Euro 96 and he did the dentist chair celebration to answer the critics because the England players, well, they were in the Far East on tour.
Well, they were pissheads.
They were pissheads. Yeah. and they were, I suppose, rightly criticised for being so. But when Gascoigne scores that goal and runs over and sort of recreates this thing called the dentist chair, which is sort of a drinking game for those who don't know, I thought that was brilliant, actually.
Yeah. Mm. It was fantastic because it had the combination of political statements.
Yes.
Emotionally involved because people would love
say,
it as well.
You can't say there was no
and
emotion.
And it was also quite funny.
Yeah, exactly.
And it was a hell of a goal he scored.
Exactly.
Right. What I loved as well was Gascoigne was lying there with his gob open and the players were like squeezing the water bottle into his mouth. And it's the glee on Gascoigne's face. Yeah. He's like, come on, give it to me.
If that had been, and it also was a combination, as Pete Rotley says, of a great goal. If that was a tap in, it wouldn't be as good.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. It's got to be a really, really
it's
good
Gascoigne,
goal.
It's Gascoigne saying basically, yes, I understand, tabloid journalist, that I'm not perfect, but I'm capable of this. And this is something you'll never be capable of. And I'm having a bloody lovely time. Now, we all know what happened with Paul Gascoigne post-retirement. I don't propose to glorify that. Mm. But at the time, Gascoigne was a legend. He still is really a legendary figure. It's capable of stuff that most English players just weren't capable of.
Also, as well, like it's that context, as well, the relationship he had with the Scotland fans. And that's something...
He's playing.
We've seen Adebayor. Run down the pitch to celebrate in front of Arsenal fans, just annoy them. And there's a famous one from Brazil. There's a guy called Edmilson Ferreira. Have you heard of this one?
No.
So he was playing for a team called Atletico Mineiro, which is a very big side, and their fierce rivals are a team called America MG, and they're nicknamed the Rabbits. And he scored a goal, pulled a carrot out of his pants, and just like ran down the pitch, eating it, like alongside those fans. And like, I love the dedication of just having a carrot in your pants the whole game. Surely that's awful.
It's like
by the time you put it
in
your mouth. Yeah.
Well, when Jonas Gutierrez got signed from Newcastle, I hit a drag it back in Newcastle, but we've had a few in our time because there's been a lot of Chen of players. But he had his Spider-Man match.
He was a bit of a quirky...
Took a long time before you saw that Spider-Man.
Yeah. Was he banned from using it after a while?
No, I don't think he was banned. I think it just took a long time for him to score a goal that was worthy.
Not worth the admin.
I mean, another contrived celebration which we all remember. Well, certainly some of us of a certain age was Roger Miller in 1990 with Cameroon, and that became that little sort of wiggle into the corner.
But why do we allow him this, but we don't allow the younger players in the modern game to do that?
It's a fair one, because sometimes the dancey celebrations, people can be a bit critical, but the Colombian players, I think 2014, would often do a little shuffle and whatnot, and I thought that was quite enjoyable, you know. But then Lee Sharp used to do a little
Elvis,
the microphone thing, didn't he?
I can understand.
In a World Cup situation, Colombia is a classic example of this. You've got a load of young men stuck in camp together all the time. It's not a huge surprise they're going to come up with these sort of choreographed things.
And also in the Colombian culture, and it's South America in general, a very dancey culture.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and same in Ashton, sorry, isn't it? As well?
Usually,
get the rev on.
Daniel Sturridge is not from Surrey.
Do you remember when German Rijgic scored his worldie?
That's a great example.
Out
of
came the chest wing.
Took his shirt off, and I think everyone was just like, fuck.
Yeah.
That's a lot of hair.
And he also didn't he didn't think about that.
No.
That was such... Yeah. That's the thing. And I think we're tapped into something here, which is the best ones, and Jim rightly said it earlier with Marco Tardelli, which is probably the absolute apex of this. The best ones are There's no chance I'm going to be able to contain myself here.
Yeah.
I'm just doing whatever comes naturally to me, and that's it. See, I wouldn't like it if, for example, sadly we never got to see this, but if Alan Shearer scored the winner in a World Cup final, I don't want to be seeing that.
And he'd learned a backflip.
Yeah. I don't want to be seeing the old arm up. I want to be seeing him go mad. It needs to mean something to him for it to mean something more to us.
Can you guys think of times where you've been like that? Seeing a goal, because the immediate example that springs to mind for me is when England won the penalty shootout at the World Cup. I was stood on a table just screaming.
I was on the floor.
And everyone was doing it. Like, we went feral.
I was fetal position on the floor. Yeah. The one where I went mad and where we all went mad because I was with you guys. Uh-huh. And I had to do this the other day for an end of year thing, which is your sporting moment of the year. For me, when we had our Ramble World Cup party in England and Harry Kane scored that winner against Tunisia, that was the biggest eruption of emotion by a load of people I think I've ever seen. People, because of the history, it's all the things together. It's a perfect storm. One, it's a game you expect to win and you found it tough. Two, it was a last minute winner. Three, the history England have had in the World Cup was very difficult and we were all terrified, us English people, about us just repeating it again despite a promising build up. Four, we were with a whole group of people.
Yep.
And five, drink had been taken. and the whole place went absolutely mad. Completely. And I thought, right. And it was a combination of this is amazing. And also, right, we're up and running now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Our World Cup's on its way.
Absolutely. But it's not always footballers who provide wonderful celebrations. I have to bring this to the table.
Not Pardew.
No. No.
The dance.
That's the dancing celebrations we don't like. When Jose Mourinho's Inter beat Barcelona in the semi-final of the Champions League. They lost on the night 1-0, but they went on through 3-2 in aggregate. And when Mourinho, the final whistle goes, and about a second later, Mourinho's halfway across the pitch, arm up in the air, running around as if he's just scored the last-minute winner.
Sprinklers come on, don't they?
Yeah.
Barcelona aren't having that.
Mourinho's celebration, that's one of my favourite celebrations of all time, I think, because he hates that club. Like, the reason why there's such a build-up and there's such an explosion of that man, because normally you see Mourinho, sometimes we've seen him be a bit over-exuberant before. He did a knee slide when he was Real Madrid manager, of course, and whatnot. But that celebration there was way over the top because he hated Barcelona. He felt that they had shunned him. We know the history and so on and so forth. For him, in that circumstance, to get one over the side who would look the most likely side to defend that trophy for the first time ever, for him to do it, he couldn't contain himself. And it was, I loved it personally.
Do you like managers getting involved in general? Do you think it's a good thing? Because Jurgen Klopp gets a lot of criticism, doesn't he, for it?
He does, yeah. It depends, I think.
But it's funny.
I don't like it for the sake of it, because sometimes you think managers are doing that to try and G up the crowd. And
I saw Dimitar Berbatov the other day say that Klopp shouldn't get criticised for that because he's always been like that. And Berbatov said he played at Leverkusen when Klopp was managing Mainz.
Yeah.
And said that he was like that when no one cared about him at Mainz. He was still like that then. Sure. It's very much part of his personality. So I think there's clearly a difference between what you're talking about there, the Klopp thing, and the Pardew dance in the FA Cup final, which is just embarrassing. Clearly there's a difference there, isn't
it? Take that with Alex Ferguson when he and Brian Kidd, was it Steve Bruce who scored those two headers
against
Sheffield Wednesday?
Yeah.
And they can't contain it. And that's what it's about.
Do you remember when Diego Forlan scored a goal for Man United at Old Trafford? I forget who it was against, but he celebrated so wildly. He'd taken his shirt off and had been spinning it around that the game restarted and he didn't have his shirt back on. But the ball came to where he was. So he basically had to sort of try and win the ball with no shirt on.
Amazing. The biggest non-celebration on that note, similar to that, but in a weird way, do you remember World Cup 98 when we thought England had scored against Argentina and Sol Campbell's goal was disallowed?
Oh, I would never get over that.
Argentina went up the other end and almost scored.
Why are you bringing that?
Well, because it's a celebration that never was. Well,
exactly. Raheem Sterling's ghost goal in Euro 2016.
Yeah, exactly.
But that wasn't a goal.
I celebrated.
Same, so did I. It flashed up goal on the TV.
End with Jimmy Bullard doing the telling off.
Sometimes Christmases will be disappointing.
Yeah. Well, recently we saw a great celebration in Italy when Sampdoria... Was it Sampdoria?
Sampdoria.
Equalised in the 99th minute against Lazio. We saw a bare bum.
Yeah, he jumped at the crowd.
He's taken all his clothes off. Leave the underwear on. Oh, no, the fans will... If you jump into the fans, they'll decide what you leave on.
It was his teammate who pulled his pants down.
Oh, yeah, that's true. did you hear about that one in... I think it was Sweden. A guy called Medi, I've got his name here. His name's Medi Drezovic, still going to go into the crowd, right? He's a defender, just scored a hat trick, right? He absolutely cannot believe it. Yeah. goes into the crowd, sits down, faces the pitch, and basically applauds himself.
Yeah, I see.
Gets back onto the pitch. Ref sends him off.
But the, like, you go back in there, mate.
But like the lower league kind of drinking of the beer, stuff like that. Yeah. I sort of remember. I sort of one of the ones that kind of like similar to getting his pants pulled down. Ketch Bayer when he scored that, when he booted hell out of those advertising orders, the famous one.
Yep.
It was only one of his teammates who stopped him from throwing his boots into the crowd.
Yeah.
It's like, you weren't going to get them back.
No. Yeah,
you would literally have to have been substituted.
Was there ever an explanation for why he did that?
He just hadn't played for a few weeks. So he
can just, I also say, he probably would have had another pair of boots. He's a professional football player.
Yeah, but they wouldn't stop the game.
At Newcastle.
They wouldn't stop the game from going and get his boots.
Players go off and change their boots all the time at football.
During a match?
Yeah. Do you watch football matches?
Are you on...
Marcus, back me up.
Well, they can't. I mean, you would think.
When was the last time someone did that?
It does. It happens.
Yeah, but they're ready. You wouldn't expect right after a goal, Ketch Bayer would have to go and get his boots changed because he flung him into the bloody.
Well, I admit it would be a hilarious reason to have to do so, but it can happen.
It can happen.
Yeah. They change at half time if the boots are too short.
I've seen you change your shoes in a ramble record, mate.
Yeah.
When the carpet's not quite as you expected. A bit of overnight dusting of snow.
Yeah. Shouldn't have worn the winkle pickers.
Always wear the winkle pickers.
The only ones I got.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, the celebration, it is the best part of it, isn't it?
Mm.
Football.
Unless it's Fortnite.
So and the best thing is, I can't tell you how Harry Kane celebrated that Tunisia goal because I was away.
Yeah. Well, I haven't seen it since, but yes.
I was doing my own one.
Yeah. It's absolutely glorious, isn't it? Really is why we watch the game, isn't it?
Absolutely.
It is. Mm. It really is.
Well, it's what it is. It's the icing on the cake that's the goal, isn't it?
Yeah. Icing and marzipan on the cake.
And cherry.
You love a bit of marzipan, Mark.
It's the finest thing we've come up with. And I'm not talking about the football ramble. Not the wheel.
Could you eat just marzipan on its own?
Oh, yeah, I do.
He does.
Does he?
He gets people who live in places that make a lot of marzipan to bring them.
What, Mark? Are you talking about my mother-in-law?
People.
He gets people.
Could be marzipan, could be Semtex. Who knows? Like I'm
imported.
We're going to get loads of it turning up to the office now. Be like the Beatles and their jelly babies.
He's trying to make it out to sound like really sinister. Do you know what he does?
Yeah.
He gets people. He goes to places where they make it.
He's in the pocket of Big Almond.
It's you causing droughts in California, is it? With your incessant marzipan consumption.
Oh, I didn't think that. I don't get it from California, though.
Good.
No.
Good for
no. You far more don't get it from
nefarious places.
Lucky marzipan's a Christmas food as well.
Indeed.
Otherwise, this would be off-piste.
It would be very off-piste.
Yeah.
There we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to the 12 Rambles of Christmas in association with Bet365. We're done. Yeah. We're done.
And dusted.
And thanks for tuning in, but also thanks for all your support throughout the year as well.
Of course.
Been fantastic. As Jim always says, we couldn't do it without you because it would just be weird, wouldn't it? It would be, and I think he's absolutely right.
We couldn't and wouldn't do it without
you. No.
Have an extremely Merry Christmas, my beauties. And it's goodbye from us.
Yeah, we'll be back on the 28th.
Merry Christmas.
See you soon. Bye.
Season's greetings and a happy new year.
This was a Radio Staccato production.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year. just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.